Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 794, and we read Isaiah chapter 65, beginning at verse 1. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am. Here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near to me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it.' So I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob, and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Genesis. It's found on page 1245 in your pew Bibles, or from Galatians. And we read Galatians 3, beginning at verse 23. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke. It's on page 1106 in your pew Bibles, and we read Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The text is based on Jesus' encounter with the demons, demon-possessed man we just read about. But also these words describing Satan and his work from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." This is our text. So how do you like my green hair? I'm 8 feet tall. I was born on the planet Mars. Now, if I continue like this for a few more minutes, you might want to lock me up, just like they locked up that man that appeared to Jesus. And you'd say, "I'm crazy, because none of the things that I just said to you are true. I'm no good to anybody. My life is worthless. Nobody loves me. Now, I doubt you would want to lock me up for saying those things. And you wouldn't say I'm crazy. You'd probably just say I'm depressed. Or that I have low self-esteem. But I would submit to you that the things that I just said are just as crazy as the things I said formerly. Because they're not the truth. They're not the reality. They're not the things that God, who always speaks truth, would say of us. And yet we find those things, perhaps, that I just said, far more easy to believe, not only about ourselves, but sometimes about other people as well. The devil is a liar. We know that from the very beginning of his relationship with man. God, who loves us so much that he'd send his own son into the world to die for our sins. To Adam and Eve, Satan said, God's lying. When he tells you that if you do this, like eating from this tree, it's going to kill you. Oh, that's a lie. He just doesn't want you to become like he is. As if we mortals could become God. That's ridiculous. But the devil, unfortunately, is very good at lying and convincing us to believe absolute absurdities. Jesus comes to the Gerasenes. And he's greeted by a crazy man. Now, anybody who's ever had a rotten night's sleep and got up and felt grumpy all day knows that there's a connection between our bodies and our minds. And so things that treat the body can often very well help the human mind. But we sometimes forget that there are three elements to our one person. We are flesh, we are mind, but we are also spirit. And what this crazy man had was a spiritual problem. He had demons. I don't know what lies he believed about himself, because there's so many lies that Satan tries to convince us of. But he was full of demons. And what he really needed was an encounter with Jesus. And to begin to understand the truth about God and the truth about himself. There before him stood the Son of God, and he recognized it. But he didn't come to destroy that man, he came to save him. For like all people, to God he had great worth. To God, he was worth the shedding of his own son's blood at that crazy guy might be delivered. But it's not just for that man that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came. He came to deliver all of us. To give us the hope of eternal life, to give us the forgiveness of sins, and to help us to see ourselves differently than the world, the devil, and yes, our own sinful flesh tries to convince us of lies that have no bearing in the truth at all. And yet, how easily we believe them. We carry guilt around with us. Though Christ has already paid for all sins, and forgiveness is ours. We feel loneliness when we are deeply loved. We feel hopeless when there is eternal glory that is laid up for us already. We think we are enduring crisis upon crisis. But it's all in God's miraculous plan for our life. And while we might not know all the answers yet, He does. Oh, how many lies we are tempted and sometimes start believing. Each and every one of us sometimes has a different demon working on us. But the essence of demons' work is always the same. The goal of Satan is to destroy us, and the primary tool by which he does it is getting us to believe lies, to ignore the truth of Scripture, which is not only proclaimed by God's Word, but proved through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and His ascension before God, where He continues to plead for us. Thank God that we are gathered here today to hear the real truth about ourselves and about God. But we live in a world that is held captive to lies. And something has to be done about that. When the demons were cast out of the man that had agreed to Jesus, he didn't want to leave the side of Jesus. He wanted to go with him and follow him, to revel in the glory of Jesus for the rest of his days. But if you will, God had a different mission in mind for him. That is the theme of our Vacation Bible School this week. God is on a mission. In one sense, it's already completed. Our redemption has already been won. But as that man was freed from his demons, there was one thing he still had to do for his Lord and Savior. He had to go back to his town. A town that had rejected Jesus. They were afraid of him. And this was his mission: to tell them all the great things that God had done for him. Sharing Jesus isn't always so much about grabbing somebody's arm and twisting it and saying, "You better listen to me as I tell you about God." We can do evangelism just telling people about ourselves and all the wonders that God has done in our life, including forgiveness, including the hope of the resurrection, but all the other blessings that we receive. Like that man that was delivered from demons by Jesus, you and I are on a mission. It is to go out into the world and cast out the demons that are lying to other people, telling them lies about themselves, about the world, and about God. God grant that we always remain firmly grounded in the truth that God has given us in His Word. But let us, for every day that we live on this earth, be on a mission to bring that saving truth to a world of demon-possessed people. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.